it's going to be John 4, chapter 14 and 15, 16. I got some verses that I want to read to you out of those. I'll probably just go ahead and start in order there, if we can do that. Give you a second to get to John chapter 14. And the Bible says, down in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." In chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus is speaking again. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And then down in the same, let's see, in chapter 16, verse 23, and really kind of just in the middle of the verse there, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And in verse 26 of that same chapter, he went on to say, he said, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." Heavenly Father, thank you again for the meeting and our fellowship and the singing and all that's happened tonight so far, Lord. Now we ask for our minds to be clear and focused on your word. Lord, help us to think. Lord, speak to hearts. We know you do. Fill us all with yourself, Lord, in this place with your presence tonight. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of Christ is the title of the message. In the name of Christ. That phrase in the verses that I read to you is repeated six times. And when we were doing our Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about this with repeated things. When things are repeated several times, of course, that's showing emphasis. It's showing an importance. It may show that Jesus realizes how slowly our hearts would kind of comprehend that this particular thing. He said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask," and he said, "I will do it," or "the Father will give it." And so it's the link to everything as far as prayer goes there is in my name. Now, you know, over the years, a lot of people have thought, well, you could pray about anything you wanted to pray as long as you tagged in my name or in his name on the back of it. And that meant that Jesus was going to answer the prayer. But that's not exactly what's being taught here. It's a little bit deeper than that. And that's what I really want to talk to you about tonight. We know with a name, when a name is attached to something, like, if somebody says, "Hey, I got a dog," that doesn't tell you a whole lot. If they say, "Hey, I got a German Shepherd," you kind of got an idea. It don't look like a dachshund, right? I mean, it puts something there for you. And so when we think about a name, it's a word where it calls to mind the whole being or the nature of the object. A lion and a lamb are both animals, but they're different. If I say a lion, you get a different image, you get a different picture. It's a different, there's a different nature. The thought of that nature would come out. If you say it's a lamb, then the thought of that nature comes out, or a person that you might know. There's somebody who'd say, well, if you mention somebody's name, if you know them, you already know their appearance, what kind of demeanor they have, personality, whatever that may be, it brings it to mind. And so therefore, this is what this means, the name of Christ. When he said, "Pray in my name," the name of Christ, it means his whole nature. It means his person, his work, his spirit. That's what we're talking about, praying in the name of Jesus. So, and I try to get it a little bit simpler so we can get a grip on that. To ask in the name of Christ is to pray in union with him. Pray in union with him. And this is the key to answered prayer. This is how prayer gets answered. Not everything that we pray is just going to get answered. Lord, man, I hope a Rolls Royce is in the driveway in the morning in Jesus' name. You know, if we run out there tomorrow and we got one, I'll say, oh, well, back up on that message. Even though I'm probably not going to ask for a Rolls Royce. Corvette, maybe, but not a Rolls Royce. But, we just got to see that we're in union with Christ. Listen, I said this this morning, and I was talking about this. There wasn't a single prayer that Jesus ever prayed that God the Father didn't hear him. There wasn't a single prayer that he ever prayed that God the Father didn't answer. But there was a key to that. There was a key to all that. So to pray in the name of Christ also means to pray in his spirit. Pray in his spirit. Pray in possession of his nature. Boy, if we pray in the possession of his nature, the prayer will be correct. It'll be in the Father's will. And that's the prayer that gets answered. That's the key to it all. He said in John 16:26, let me read that to you, because I was looking at it. I just wrote down part of it, but it makes more sense. He said, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. At that day, what's he talking about? He was telling them on that day, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, when you're possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, when on that day you'll pray. You'll pray in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, he said, and then I'm going to hear and I'm going to intercede. That's one thing that Jesus does to the Father for you. That's what he's talking about there. And so when we start to understand that, that whatever we ask in the name of Christ in union with him and out of his nature and spirit, it must be given by God. Because see, he's not going to pray amiss. He's going to, whatever we pray in his name, in union with him, it's his spirit that's controlling us and operating in us and our thoughts and our mind. Whatever we pray in the name of Christ in union with him and out of his nature and spirit, it must be answered. It must be given by God. That's the key to prayer right there. As Christ's prayer nature lives in us, his prayer power becomes our power. Becomes our power too. It's still really his. And so our honesty and wholeheartedness of our surrender to everything Christ seeks in us will determine our spiritual fitness and power to pray in his name. When Christ came and when Jesus walked on the earth as a man, and I shared this with you already before, and I get it, I understand it. He didn't do anything in his deity. He did everything in his humanity. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing. It's right in these verses here too. He said, of my own self, I can do nothing, that God the Father had to do it. So he prayed to God the Father for the power to do what God the Father wanted him to do. He couldn't do nothing. So what was he doing? He was walking as a man to show us how to walk as a man. Or a woo man, you know, humans, men, mankind. He walked on this earth and says, this is how to live. That's what he was doing in the Bible. This is how to live. This is how you're going to do everything. This is how you're going to glorify God, our purpose on earth. You're going to glorify God the Father by prayer. And this is how you do it. And you're going to be praying in my name, in my nature, and in my will, and God the Father's will. You're going to pray in my name, and you're going to get it done. And you're going to do greater works than I did, greater in number, greater in number. You're going to do more because there's more of us, and we got a longer time than 3.5 years. You're going to do great works. But he said, I'm going to show you how to do it. This is how you walk. He walked as a man. He ate, slept, got tired, weary, sweat, the whole nine yards. He lived, and the way he walked through the earth was in union with the Father through prayer. And he's showing us, this is exactly how we're going to do it. This is exactly how you used to need to do it. And so we see in our text today, we're going to see that Jesus is our example. He's our teacher, and he's our intercessor. So number one, the very first point is Christ, our example. And here's the thing, prayer in Christ and prayer in us cannot be two different things. It cannot be. Prayer in Christ and prayer in us cannot be two different things. Well, it can be, but it's not going to be effectual. It's not going to be fervent. It's not necessarily going to be answered. Prayer in Christ and us should be exactly the same thing because he's in us, right? I mean, a surrendered will, a surrendered life, a filling of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to be praying? You're going to be praying in the power of the Spirit. And then that prayer is going to be answered. And Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. I mean, just think about it. Because, you know, if he was in his deity, he wouldn't really need to pray. But he was in his humanity, and he needed to pray, which tells us that we needed to pray, right? And so he spent a lot of time in prayer. All the great events, and I think I wrote it down this way. I said, well, all the great events of his life, Jesus prayed. But I'm going to tell you all little minor events in his life he prayed. He prayed every day. He prayed, you know, he prayed. The Bible tells he rose up a great while before day, and he prayed. Man, I mean, that's what he did. But we think about the great events of his life. They would certainly, and unfortunately, I think that's when a lot of Christian folks pray for some great crisis in their life, not necessarily for the great events in their life, but for a crisis. But I think in everything else he prayed. But I just brought out, and you know, there's no way, it'd be foolish to think that we could attempt to work for God without prayer. You can't get it done. Not God's work. So the Bible tells us that his baptism. In Luke 3:21, it says, Jesus also being baptized and praying. That's the way it's worded. It said, Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. It was opened up. The heaven was open. Think about that. Well, what are we trying to do? Huh? We're trying to get God's will done on earth, not our will done in heaven. We need heaven to be opened up. We want the Spirit poured out. If we want God to pour His Spirit out on us, and we're going to have a little meeting like this. And had the lady today ask me after church, she said, I just want to ask you a question. Is it all right if I raise my hand up in church? If I raise my hands, go ahead. I said, knock yourself out. I said, there's other people that want to raise their hand up, but they don't raise their hands up because nobody else is raising their hand up. They're kind of like, I said, sit right up here in the front. If you're doing it out of the, you know, not for a show, but I mean, and I don't believe she would be, but she said, yeah. So I told Sherry, she goes, oh, she goes, that's great. You know, she wouldn't do that. And so you're all right, Brandy. You can go a little higher than here if you want to go on of that. You're all right. No, I mean, that the Bible tells us to lift up holy hands. But, you know, Jesus, man, listen, the heaven was open. He prayed at his baptism and the heaven was open. That's what we want, right? I mean, we want the heaven open, man. We want a communication line between God and earth. And I mean, listen, this was important. In prayer, heaven was open to him, and it came down to him with the Spirit and with the voice of the Father, the voice of God. And in power, he was led into the wilderness. I always preach on that. I like to preach. You know, we always think, boy, we're going to get saved and everything's going to be a bed of roses and a bowl of cherries. It's going to be great. Right after Jesus' baptism, where did he get led? To Walmart? No, sir. He got led into the wilderness. He went out in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Huh? Well, wait a minute. Hey, but you're walking in the power of God. If you're in prayer, what did he have to worry about? He wasn't sweating the load about that. He went out there, so he was led into the wilderness. In fasting and prayer, this spirit that he had was tested in fasting and prayer. We're told in Mark and Luke as well that Jesus went into the wilderness into a solitary place to pray. He would get away. He would get away some God time. Some God time. He went away to pray in a solitary place. His work, his service, healing, preaching, listen, it can exhaust his spirit. It's just like people coming, this problem. It's, you know, all day long talking to people, healing people, touching people, preaching to them, taking care of their needs all day long. The crowds. And man, it's after supper time a couple times, we know. And he went down to the river, and after, sometimes he was tired. Sometimes he was weary and he wanted to stop, but the people wouldn't let him stop. And sometimes he got into a boat and he went across the lake to the other side. So sometimes the disciples were with him. He went over. What did he do? He rested. He prayed. He talked to God. You know, sometimes too much contact with men can cloud the fellowship with God. Now, my wife and I pray together every day, but I'll have prayer time without her and she has prayer time without me. We've got to have our own time to pray and talk to God. And I was praying. I was trying to study our memory verses. We've been trying to memorize 100th Psalm just to show us how meditation works. And man, me and Sherry were looking at it there when Jasmine started singing. We were going over the thing, getting that down. I've had that rolling around in my head. Well, you know, that has an impact on you. Get a verse in the Bible and let it roll around in your head all day. Keep saying it over and over, talking to you. The Bible will impact your life. It'll change your life. The Word of God, like I said this morning, we have our transform our mind by, you know, the be be ye transformed, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? Read the Word of God, study the Word of God. I told you that this morning. And that's an important thing. And so, Jesus needed prayer. Luke 6:12, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Huh? He continued all night in prayer to God, went out into a mountain to pray. He was alone all night in prayer. And the next verse says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Jesus is getting ready. The foundation of the church, the early foundation of the church, himself and the apostles were next. And before he decided who the apostles were going to be, he spent all night in prayer, all night prayer meeting. That's because this was an important deal. This was an important deal that he was about to go on, so he spent all night in prayer with that. The first step in creating the church and choosing men to be his witnesses was a lengthy session in prayer. And then back one other little verse, and I didn't write it down, but I put my bookmarker in there. John chapter 5, 19 and 20. The Bible says, It says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. There you go. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So when did the Father show Jesus those things? In that all night of prayer, in that night of prayer when he's praying. It was God's will. It was God's will that Jesus had come to do God's power or God's purpose, and it was God's power, and that he was to reveal that. Now listen, this power was not a possession of his own, because he wasn't in his deity, he was in his humanity. The power wasn't a possession of his own in his humanity. He had to pray and receive power from God above. Same, because why? It had to be that way because that's what he's showing us. That's how he's showing us why he's showing us how to operate here on earth as well. The disciples wanted Jesus to teach them to pray. And we see the examples that he set. He gave them an outline, what we call the Lord's Prayer, but they saw him praying, and sometimes they didn't see him praying, but they did see him go off. And I'm sure he told them, I'm going off to pray. I'm going to go spend some time in prayer. He prayed at Lazarus' grave. Lazarus came forth. He prayed at Gethsemane when he about to go to the cross, and the Bible said he sweat great drops of blood. He prayed on the cross when he was on the cross. All his prayers were dependence on God, trust in God, receiving from God, surrender to God. Every prayer, all the prayers that Jesus had. Our example, Jesus, the name of Jesus. And the life he lives for you and in you is a praying life. The life he lives for us and in us is a praying life. So we see Christ our example. The second thing is Christ our teacher. Christ was what he taught. He was what he taught. His teaching was the revelation of how he lived and the life he was to live in us. That's what he was teaching. And everything that he taught, he himself will give. Everything he taught, he'll give. So we think, well, what to pray? What kind of pray? Well, there's petition, which is request, making request. And we look at his request many times. I think a lot of times our request, as far as petition goes, to revolve around needs in the physical realm, and that's okay. But we think about the spiritual realm that we need. Jesus taught us to ask, to seek, and to knock. It's, you know, a lot of people struggle with a lot of things in spiritual side of things, but seldom do they ask God, like give me the power. Like, oh, just simple things like, oh man, I don't know what to say to anybody, been saved 50 years. I don't know what to say to anybody about witnessing for the Lord. Well, tell him, pray for the words, pray for power. We got a promise on it. He said he'd put the words in our mouth, by the way. So you got it. You can claim a verse on that. And that's okay too when you pray. And tell him about it. And let him put the words in your mouth. Do you believe it? Do you trust him? Then don't be afraid. Don't stop. Don't let that stop you, because he said, listen, I'll do it. Would that be a prayer that God the Father would answer to God, to Jesus the Son? And would that be a prayer that if we said, Lord, man, I really want to talk to somebody about you, but I just don't, I'm not sure I can articulate it, or I might make a mess out of it, or I'm afraid. You know, is that a prayer that you think, I ain't answering that prayer. I'm going to hold back on you on that deal right there. And then how many people won't do it, and how many people are afraid? But the thing is, that's a belief issue. That's a faith issue, because you think God's lying to you. Or else he's not going to lie. I mean, this is a prayer that he's going to answer. For sure, man. What does he want us to do down here? He gave us a commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? So you got to pray for the courage and the words to say, what to say. Huh? Yeah. He'll answer that prayer. Sure he will. You might be afraid to pray in public. Ask for power. Ask for God for courage. Put the words. He's going to answer that prayer. Believe it. Believe it. Listen, this is what Jesus did. Pray believing, and we will receive. We're praying in that spirit. See, God wants you to be somebody he can use. He don't want you not to be somebody he can't use. It's his will. We already know these things. So, when our life is filled with Christ, our life becomes his, and our needs change. Our prayers change, types of prayers, how they work. We'll have our eyes open to the needs that can accomplish God's purpose. When he's filled our life, we'll have our eyes open to the needs that can accomplish his purpose. The grace and the joy, the love, the strength, the dependence, trust, faith, to where we become the channels of all these to others. And it's all those things are wrapped up in one person. His name is Jesus. If you got him, you got it. You got it all. It's not one at a time. Well, you know, I'm going to dole out this, that, and the other thing. No, if you got Jesus, you got his love, joy, peace, all wrapped up into one. Courage, power, whatever. You got it. How to pray. In secret, in simplicity, on our eyes on God alone. That's how we pray. With eyes on God alone. In humility, in the spirit of forgiving love, in faith, that's how we pray. Believing we will receive everything we ask for as we pray in union with Christ. Just believe it. It's simple. Jesus did. I don't think Jesus sat around scratching his head. Well, I wonder if Father's going to answer this one. No, man, they were that. They were that. That's us, right? That's us with Christ, like that. We already know. We already know. You ever ask anybody something you already knew what they were going to say? You already knew it was going to be a positive answer? I mean, you might know the negative ones too, but yeah, there's certain things you could ask. You know what they're going to say, right? You ask somebody, hey, could you come help me do something? You know they're going to say, yeah, more than likely if they're not dying. So that's the way Jesus asked God the Father. He knew everything he asked him he was going to do already, but he's still asking. He asked him along the way. So we have Christ our example, Christ our teacher. When we pray in Jesus' name, we have Jesus as our intercessor in heaven. I said this morning about the most encouraging thing that you could ever read in the Bible is that Jesus prays for you. Amen. There's nothing any more encouraging than that. You might get discouraged and you think, you know, whatever it is, if we're serving God, does God want us to succeed or fail? He wants us to succeed. Now, he might want us to fail if we get in the flesh, if we get prideful, if we think it's in our strength or our wisdom or our personality, whatever. He may, you know, he may want you to fail, but in the long run, that's a good thing, because he doesn't want it to be you. He wants it to be him, and so sometimes we have to fail till we get that straightened out over here, right? So it all becomes a good thing. It's all a blessing, right, either way. But in the long run, if we're... our motive is correct and our humility is right and everything that we do. Does he want us to fail or succeed? He wants us to succeed. So he's going to answer the prayer. He's going to give us what we need. And you know, those things, it's all going to be to the positive, to what, and it's going to be in God's will. So our fellowship with the Father is the same as the fellowship the Son has with the Father. We have the fellowship with the Son that he had with the Father. Christ, our intercessor, man, that's an encouraging thing that he prays. Every blessing that comes to us is due to his intercession. Every blessing that comes to us in prayer is due to his intercession with the Father. And the glory of God is our purpose, which we mentioned. And the glory of God is Jesus' purpose. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. When Jesus came to the earth, the glory of the Father was his purpose, to glorify God the Father. Nothing's changed. Now he's just operating through us. What's our sole purpose? Glorify God. Does he want to answer any prayer that's connected with that? Is he going to answer any prayer that's sure? Does he still want us to pray? Yeah, he still does, because he wants, you know, that's how the glory of God is revealed. The glory of God wouldn't be revealed near as much as if it just happened. Like God just said, poof, Terry, you go out, he doesn't say a thing to you, and you just do something. That would be fascinating. But boy, when we pray to God and God answers the prayer. I mean, that's how his glory is revealed right there. It's revealed that way. And that's the way Jesus worked. In Christ's intercession, he glorifies the Father by asking and receiving everything from him. That's dependence. That's dependence. What does Christ want from us? Dependence. Total dependence. Not just for the big things in life, everything in life. He wants dependence. And now this same Christ, the intercessor, is our life. He's our life. The way to it, the way to our purpose to glorify God, Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So read that again a little slower. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And if we live as Christ lives, we will give ourselves, our whole lives, to God to be used by God for others. See, it's not just to be used by God, it's used by God for others, right? And that's I can't give you all the not just people being saved, but encourage people along the way, to help people along the way, the spiritual battles, the discouragements, all those other things, help and save people and lost people too. It's just lost people do. I mean, it's not just one thing. It's not, you know, it's helping others in a lot of ways, in a lot of other ways. Boy, look at the prayers of Paul. I love the prayers of Paul, and I know those prayers were prayers that was a spirit-filled man. And he prayed, and what did he, man? He prayed for the growth of Christians like nobody else, man, other than Jesus. I mean, he prayed for Christian growth. That's what he prayed for, growing in grace. He talked about that all the time, growing in grace and love and mercy, and man, I mean, all those things, he prayed for those people about that. That was his concern. The Christians that were, the people that were, they were already saved, but he prayed for that. And so, and when we ask God to use us and to impart to us what we can bestow on others, then there's intercession that takes place from Christ. Intercession will become to us as it is to Christ in heaven, the same thing. The great work of our lives. That's the great work of Christ's life right now, is intercession. That'll be our life, the great work of intercession. John 14:12, Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." I quoted that verse to you at the beginning. Greater works. Greater in scope. Won't be any bigger. Greater in the amount, because he was limited as a man to a geographic location, and he only walked on the earth as Jesus, the man, for 3.5, as we do in the Father's work, 3.5 years. And now we've got, now there's millions of Christians all over the world, and all this time we've had man preaching and soul winning and people leading others to Christ and the Word of God all this time, greater work. He's going to do greater because now he's not limited to a geographic location. Listen, the Holy Spirit and fill each and every one of us. We go out our separate ways. We're out all over the place. And right tonight, there's other churches somewhere on the East Coast at this time, probably having churches as well, 3 more at least. and they're having church and Sunday mornings and all those Christians, and boy, all them, and they're all over the place, and he's working in each and every life of a saved person that surrendered herself to him, and he's working in every life all at one time. He's not limited by space, time and space. And man, so it's greater and greater and greater. Same God. Boy, ask in his name. In the name of Christ, that's what it really means, the name of Christ. It's not just throwing that tag on the end of something that we say and hopes that God's going to answer it because of that. Jesus never, let me tell you this, Jesus never prayed a prayer to Father in request and sat there hoping, "I sure hope God answers my prayer." God, he never said that. He knew when he prayed it. He knew when he prayed it. That the prayer was going to, he knew because why? He's praying in the will, asking his name, his nature, in union with him. When we pray that way, it's a definite, no doubt about it. It's a done deal. Nothing to fear, nothing to doubt. The Bible said it shall be done unto you. That's good stuff right there. Somebody ought to shout. Huh? Somebody ought to raise a hand. Huh? That's something to shout about. There you go, Greg. You're getting in the spirit, man. You had 2 hands up. You ain't never done that before, have you? First time ever, huh? Huh? Do that again, man. It feels pretty good. Do that again. That feels pretty good. There you go. That's good. Hey, that's it, man. That's something to shout about, man. We can be happy at church. We can be excited at church. Man, yeah, listen, believe it or not, the old Baptists, man, I never knew what this meant. Years ago, when I first got saved, man, you go to these big meetings, and back then men had handkerchiefs, the white handkerchiefs. You all have to go out, we'll go to the dollar store, be sold out for next Sunday. And to get up there, and boy, the preacher would get to going good if he ever said anything good. And they get handkerchiefs out there at the revival, and they'd all be waving them. And I wonder what the deal is with that. I know what it is. What are you doing when you wave a white flag? Surrender. You're surrendering. Amen. You're surrendering up, giving it up to God, man. They were surrendering. I said, that's good. So get you some white handkerchiefs. I got the baptismal ones over in the office if you want to borrow some. We'll rent them to you every Sunday, dollar a day. And you know what? You can be excited about the Word of God. This is good news, man. This isn't bad news. I mean, we're not, you know, like, oh, gee, man, pray. This is great. This is great stuff, man. So when you get down to pray tonight, think about this. You get down and pray. You get in touch with God, and you're in fellowship with him, the Lord, and in communion with him. He's filled you with himself. You pray, and you know that God is hearing and that Jesus is interceding with that prayer, and you know that the prayer is going to be answered. Man, woo! There's something to shout about, huh? Amen. Man, I'll tell you, there's a big buck out there somewhere. And Jesus knows where it is. God's leading me to say that. No, you know what I mean. Listen, man, I mean, it's encouraging to pray the Lord. Hey, I tell you what, man, you know how you laugh. I do pray sometimes. I said, you know what, Lord, I'd like to get a big buck, and you know that. Everybody that deer hunts, man, we don't go to bed dreaming about a doe. We'd like to get a big buck. But you know what? I just say, God, if it's your will, if it's not willing, I'm just going to have to be satisfied. You know what? It's nothing mine. But Jesus said, pray about everything. I pray for safety. I thank God that I can be in creation. I take time, Lord, I'd like to see something. Maybe I don't see something, a big buck, I see other things. And I pray about those things and ask God, Lord, if you bless me with a big buck, amen, I'll give you the praise. I've been doing it long enough to know that I ain't smart enough to outsmart one of them things. It's just God like meets it up. So we should pray about everything, though. And boy, we pray in Jesus' name. And if he's leading us, you know, that's how we pray. Amen. Come on up here, Paul, and we'll have our invitation.